Joel Pearl, are you ready to go pull out all the stops, do something very wild, be a very cool guy, go all out perhaps? All out, anybody? Oh, I'm clipping like crazy. Welcome to Tim and Joel calling in the ring. New location, some room, undisclosed.
My favorite part of that entire intro was the first 2 seconds when you were entirely underwater.
Whoa. Oh, just this garbled audio?
Just garbled, garbagey audio. It was wonderful. Thank you.
It's probably because I clipped the ever-loving fuck out of it. Is it sounding okay now out there, peoples?
You sound wonderful. You sound like $1 million bucks. You sound like you're ready for All Out, just like our friends in the chat are. Happy All Out Day indeed.
Yeah, I've taken my ivermectin. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, we're backwards. My bad. Switch us here.
You're not Tim. You wish you was Tim.
There are days where I wish I was Tim, but instead,
God's favorite podcaster.
Can you start running that gimmick?
Yeah. You know what? All right. Screw it. My God, better than your God. Hot That's God. Fine. Not an ugly God, a hot God.
That's right, with your flexible wife, and I just get to say redeem these nuts.
Redeem these nuts, indeed. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the nitty gritty. You know who we are. Yes, we have fixed our problems. We're fixed for you. We are here. It's Sunday. It's noon Eastern. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about All Out. We're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown because that happened too. In the meantime, if you're here and you're hanging out with us, toss a thumbs up on the video. Leave a comment. Do the subscription thing. Hit the subscribe button. Gets you a little bit closer to getting us a little bit closer to talking to your friends and our new friends about wrestling. Speaking of Discord, we got one. And if you go ahead, there's a link in the video description. You can join us there. We'll be talking about All Out tonight. And also tonight, just for the sake of transparency and for fun, I'll be over on the Fightful Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Hosting the watch along. I'm going to try and drag Tim there if he's around. If he's not, then I'm going to find other people.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what's going on at... Wait, what time is All Out?
I don't know. It runs until 7 a.m.
I don't know. 7 a.m.? Then no. I'll be there in and out, maybe. In and out for All Out.
Oh, okay. I had some in and out I guess it's 3 weeks ago when I was in Vegas.
It's a burger place?
Yeah, man. It's a West Coast thing.
Yeah. Burgers. Wow. Are they cheap? Are they cheap, shitty burgers? I suspect they're cheap, shitty burgers.
Cheap, yes, except for the Vegas location because it's Vegas. But if you go to any of the ones in like LA or Phoenix or like Arizona or literally off the strip, they're cheap and they're actually pretty delicious.
Okay.
Go sometime.
No.
Okay. All right, fine. Let's do thumbnail chat because, you know, people are here and they're just like, oh, they got all these clickbaity BS things up on the thing. So let's get there. All Out is tonight. We're going to give our predictions at towards the end of the show. Instead, let's talk about who is and who isn't going to be at All Out. Tell you right now, Daniel Bryan. It looks like he's going to join the All Elite crew tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight.
I don't know. That seems early. I'm just going to go for a walk here. Just 1 second. But okay. So Daniel Bryan starts tonight. That, I don't know. That's a bold prediction, Joel. How confident are you on that?
I am about an 8.5 out of 10. I'm 85% sure.
That's pretty damn confident.
Yes. Judging by the reports and judging by the people reporting it, it looks like Daniel Bryan is going to hang out in Chicago, maybe make an appearance. Now, the question is, where does Daniel Bryan slot into all of this?
Right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. Is it just going to be D-Bride CM Punk right away? Because that, I don't really care.
So, Bryan was on Renee Paquette's podcast, and he said flat out he wants to tag with Daniel Bryan. And when it happened, he was like, when does this podcast drop? And she's like, Saturday. And he was like, I've said enough. Okay. And then he kind of like... The hints keep coming, and that's the one thing about AEW.
He's really bad at hinting, CM Punk is. Like, it's not a hint when you just say stuff like... But he could just be a troll, because he is kind of a massive troll person. So
let's not forget that the directive from TNT, from AEW, is don't start just dropping people in. Don't just start, like, randomly doing surprise debuts. They got upset about that with Sting. And so from now on, I think their mandate is to at least... tease something to make it like the worst kept secret, and in order to do that, you've got to pull out some stuff like what Punk's been doing for the last couple of weeks on TV and off TV, apparently.
Yeah, which is fair. And I mean, the CM Punk one worked extraordinarily well. right? Like,
yes.
You know, everyone knew it was happening, but it still wasn't, like, absolutely confirmed, so there was still a little bit of hype for it, so.
Yeah, there's a good amount of work being put in. So where does Brian slot in? Now, here's the thing. When Punk debuted, the conversation was, should he challenge for the AEW championship right off the bat?
Absolutely. And a lot of people,
exactly, and I agree with you. And that was the thing. The rankings are there. They're in place. They're there for a reason. And even Punk was like, I don't want to do that because then I'll be that guy. So instead, what they did was they're having him, you know, be the face, the guy who wants to go up against Darby Allin, eventually MJF, so on and so forth, build to that championship match. With Brian, I have a suspicion.
A suspicion.
Great speaking on a Sunday morning. I got to do this all day too.
So still better than Jericho.
That's true. We'll get there. I have a suspicion because TK and the Elite have been at odds on screen for the last few months, ever since Kenny stole the title back in December.
Yeah.
Right. So why not have TK come out if the Christian and Omega match, if it closes the night? You have TK come out after Omega somehow wins his match, retains the title by nefarious means, whatever it is. And he says, your next challenger was handpicked by me because I'm sick of this stuff. I'm over it. I want to put those boots to you. And ladies and gentlemen, your next challenger is going to be Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. And out comes D. Bryan. It's a huge pop. And that's how we end the night. Big yes chance. Yeah. Just fade to black. Does it work for you?
Yes, it works. In the back of my mind, what I'm fearing is it's somewhat of a disservice to the Hangman Kenny story, because they parked that, presumably because of Punk and all of the fanfare surrounding that. They shifted to Christian. And, like, it's not to say they couldn't recover from meandering this long, but we haven't been seeing a ton of Hangman lately, right? We've been seeing some of the little, you know, Discord in the Dark Order bits, but they haven't really been a prominent feature on Dynamite or Rampage as of late. And I'm worried that they might awkwardly come back to it rather than, you know, successfully come back to it. And with Daniel Bryan, I could see him also just taking the title from Kenny, which means that we're a long ways away from any payoff for Hangman. So
I don't necessarily see Bryan taking the championship from Omega.
No.
I see him just being another fork in the road, something to get to full gear, because you've got to get through the entire month of October and into November before you get to the Omega match, which presumably now is going, or not the the Omega Hangman match, which is presumably now going to be at full gear.
Which I would be fine with that. Like, as long as Daniel Bryan loses, I think he's a good stopping point. It's just there's no real room for him there to win. I really think the person who should lift it from Kenny is Hangman.
Yeah.
You know, homegrown talent, too. Like, it makes the most sense, and I think it's the fairest thing. And, you know, D. Bryan and CM Punk don't need that stuff just yet, right?
I see Caleb in the chat saying Hangman kind of got screwed. I don't think he got screwed.
Not yet. It might happen, which is what I'm expressing here. But I think they can come back to it. Like, if right now what they're doing is preparing some interesting video packages and fleshing out the story for his triumphant return, I actually don't mind this crossroads, right? Like, this little split for a little bit.
And we're seeing the Dark Order split off right now. So I think there's room for Hangman to come in, reunite the Dark Order, and then say, now we got business to take care of. And
yeah.
It suddenly becomes Dark Order versus the Elite. There's some long-term storytelling here that I will give AEW full credit, because they tend to play that stuff out and they tend to pay it off as well.
Yeah, and they really haven't let me down on stuff like that yet. So I'm open to it. And I think it'd be cool if D. Bry does close out the show tonight.
Yeah, that's the only way it works. Is it Bridie now?
Bryan Danielson. Yeah.
What was it? It was Bryan Danielson. So he'll be Bryanson, or he'll be Danielson
Bryan. Yeah,
exactly. Someone had posted an old clip of him when he was in NXT, like way back when NXT was the game show, and he was eliminated. And they were like, he basically went off, and he's like, Daniel Bryan is a WWE name. Like, who I was in the indies, and I'm totally paraphrasing, who I was in the indies, like, kicked everyone's ass, blah, 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 took names. I could be that guy again. And he teased at it subtly. Throughout his career, he's always been good at kind of separating the character from the guy, which I appreciate. Daniel Bryan, all out. We'll see tonight. That's why I think the Omega match, if it goes on last, man, that crowd's going to get hot because they know what's going to happen.
That is it's a titillating prospect. I'm excited. Yeah.
And again, not knowing the order of matches on the card, that kind of helps with where we're going and who's coming out or who's not coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of which, for about 24 hours, we were under the impression that maybe Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott, was not coming back because for those who attended the Rampage tapings on Friday night, they were treated to a bunch of dark matches, including a match between Sky Blue, who was recently featured in NWA, taking on Red Velvet. It was such a good match, and the crowd was so into it that afterwards, TK comes out and offers Sky Blue a spot in the Battle Royal, to which we got to 21 names, and everyone said, oh shit, that means Ruby Soho's out. Not to be the case, because during Dark, Julia Hart gets taken out by Jade and Nyla. We're back.
Ugh. That Jade and Nyla segment was real weird to me. I did.
I feel like going with it.
No. I agree with the decision. I'm criticizing Nyla's feints. Like the fake kick punches were not good in that section. Jade did great. Like, you know, it's just, and Nyla's normally good for that. It's a weird, you know, what backstage is a different beast, I feel like.
Yeah. well played. Different beef. Good stuff. Yeah, everyone chuckled. Yeah. Everyone at home chuckled while listening to this podcast. A question. Would you think it would be better for Daniel to come out at All Out or at Arthur Ashe? I have my feelings about Arthur Ashe and how everyone wants to debut or have everybody win at Arthur Ashe. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think every single New York talent needs to come out and win. Also, the original plan was Arthur Ashe, but it sounds like with COVID restrictions the way they're going, they want to get Daniel in as soon as possible, just in case. That seems to be the growing feeling.
I actually, like, I feel like, yeah, just keep the momentum up. Like, keep, like, hammering this as much as possible. You know, and that means staggering out some people. If they do bring both Ruby and Daniel Bryan in tonight, that's, like, a lot in one show. But, you know, they've hyped this up quite a bit. They can keep the momentum going, I think. There'll still be more talent. There's still more talent out there. Not that they need to keep bringing in people, but, like, at this point now, there's people sitting on the sidelines who are also tremendous and have been built really, really well that we can keep cycling into and out of. Like, there's just so much potential. I feel like they're doing everything really correctly right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of goodwill being built up. I mean, we saw that Pac versus Andrade is off the card. TK said it was travel issues for Pac. Yeah. Other people have said maybe not, but people are willing to take TK at his word because guess what? There's goodwill. People believe that TK, you know, isn't going to lie to them. And it goes back to so many conversations we've had about goodwill in wrestling. So for them to continue to play out and build that goodwill, ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm fine with that. Listen, let me tell you. Let me tell you who I don't think is going to be at this show.
Who dat?
Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And if they do get him, he's another one. Like, you stagger him down the line, right?
He's a guy that you bring out at Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that makes perfect sense to me, and I think it would still get a pretty resounding pop. Do you see the Twitch stuff about his contract?
Yes, I was going to bring that up. So,
yeah.
Apparently, his non-negotiable, which is totally understandable, is that he does not want to give up Twitch. Adam Cole does not want to give up his Twitch. If you've ever seen him at the Chugs, it's such a fun time. And you know what? The only reason I'm totally fine with him saying it's non-negotiable and WWE would say yes is because he doesn't talk any wrestling there. He is not Adam Cole on that stream. He is very much just the Chugs, Austin Jenkins. He is himself. He's playing video games. He's having fun. He is a totally different person. He's not Adam Cole.
Yeah, there's no PR risk there. There's no conflict of interest or difficulty in terms of their storytelling, etc., match giveaways. Like, he is really unrelated to it, which is, you know, And he just has so much leverage right now. Like, there's never been a better time for him to just get what he wants. And I think he's, you know, he plays ball. He's friendly to everyone. He's, you know, he gets along and he works. So I think he's got all the leverage in this situation, and they either give him what he wants or he walks.
Is it worth it for Adam Cole to stay in WWE? Is it worth it for, no, you know what? I'm going to rephrase the question. Is it worth it for WWE to keep Adam Cole?
It depends what their long-term plans are. They do have, like, an immense amount of talent on the roster, right? I think there is a gap on the main roster for someone with the charisma and particular style of Adam Cole. It's just, with so much of who he was built in NXT, you know that they're going to try to rebrand him slightly when they bring him up, and I just don't know that they have any good ideas for that. Like, yeah. The UE was so essential to building his star power. You know, and specifically his. Like, I feel like, obviously, out of all of those, he was the biggest winner from that faction. So,
I mean, I agree with you. And, of course, with the talk of the type of athlete WWE wants to bring in, whether true or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is, if they're looking for those bigger folks that, quote, turn heads at the airport, whatever that's supposed to mean, he doesn't fit the WWE mold. Neither did Daniel Bryan. Punk didn't either, but Punk was a little bit bigger and whatever. Times. Cole in WWE on the main roster, yeah, I get it. It would probably be a bit of a cluster, but at the same time, you bring him into AEW, where do you slot him in AEW?
That's the thing. You're seeing, like I said, you're seeing a lot of top guys kind of sidelined right now just because there's no room. Like, thank God they have that second show because, like, it'd be tough. But then again, Miro's getting time on both, you know. Eddie Kingston's getting time on both.
Darby, time on both.
Daniel Garcia is getting signed or time on both, not even signed.
That's right. I find it interesting. And again, going to Andrade, I'm waiting on the Andrade moment because they have given everyone who has come in so far from WWE, they've given them their like breakout moment. Miro, it took some time.
Miro took some time, but it paid off, like, which I don't think WWE ever used Miro or, you know, Rusev quite correctly, right?
Right. But meanwhile, with Andrade, like, we're waiting on some sort of character development that makes it make sense.
He's still basically no one. And this Pac, like, obviously, I think the travel restrictions kind of limited their ability to build this properly. But yeah, Pac El Idolo is kind of a nothing burger right now for me.
Yeah, I hear you. So we're going to find out. We don't think Adam Cole's going to be there, or at least not at All Out, but maybe Arthur Ashe. By the way, I might be going to Arthur Ashe. I might be. I'm going to find out next weekend if I'm going to go, and then I'm going to also go to GCW Emo Fight if I do.
That does sound fun.
We're going to talk about, I'll give you the GCW gimmick later. SmackDown, very quickly, we'll go through it. Usos, Street Profits, championship contender matches back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you willed it into being by saying it stopped being, so now it bees again.
I wasn't the only one, in fairness. A lot of people, including Steve from Steven Larson, were like dead set on it being gone. It's not gone. But at least on Raw, they're doing a number one contendership match and not a championship contender BS match. So that's fine by me. Yeah. Sure, whatever. Even then, they ran a good match with a non-finish, and it was dumb.
Yeah, like, you know, and I'm glad they're swerving to this. They've transitioned now to a different feud, one that I'm very interested in. But aside from that, like, all of SmackDown was very similar to last week's SmackDown in kind of tone, pace, character. Like, it just nothing. It was again a holding pattern. Like, I think how long do we have until the next pay-per-view? It's Extreme Rules, right?
Yeah, and that is in what? 3 weeks?
It's still three weeks away, baby. So, you know, it's the 5 week thing, right? Again, like, yeah. Vince doesn't know. He booked last week. He just repeated last week, this week. And then maybe we'll get some more interesting stuff over the next 3 weeks. But
I put it in our Discord. By the way, link is in the video description. If you want to see it for yourself, I say it multiple times in a show. Vince McMahon does not know how to book beyond a 3 week pay-per-view build. He's got 5 weeks.
You better believe we have a goddamn contract signing.
That's the best. That Madison Square Garden show, though, it looks like it's going to be really good, except for one thing. They're calling it a 9/11 20th anniversary tribute show.
What the fuck?
Oh, when what? I saw that, when Wait, I like, saw that,
it's I a was, tribute to 9/11.
Like, it's a tribute to the time Stephanie equated 9/11 to when the feds went after her the dad legal, for the steroid yeah. trial. It's messed up. Everything about it is messed up, and I don't know what they think they're accomplishing by doing this. It's kind of nuts.
This seems like it might have been another Fox thing, you know? Maybe all of the programming 100%. On Fox. Yeah, that's what it is, you know. Fox is huge in Saskatchewan, so they have to get that audience because they're real big 9/11 fans in Saskatchewan, I guess, you know, so they feel like they need that tribute.
Let's talk about the Brock ringtone.
Oh my God! Is Roman's his theme song? Like, who else has he got? Who else has he got in his phone? I'm trying to remember Heyman's past affiliations. We got Cesaro, yeah.
Curtis Axel,
yeah.
What do you think the Curtis Axel ringtone is? Do you think it's real American? Do you think it's the Hogan thing from when he did the Hogan Axel thing?
Yeah, I think so. Probably, you know, most memorable. Like, I'm just picturing Paul Heyman now, just spending a night at home, drinking a glass of wine. Probably Chardonnay. I don't know. He strikes me as a Chardonnay guy. He's scrolling on probably like Russian illegal streaming sites, and you just torrenting each one of the wrestlers' themes, putting it into his phone as a ringtone. Yeah, that's like a whole evening thing. That's a lot of work to get all your contacts. It's like when you message. I have a friend who messaged all of her contacts and was like, send me what you think yourself as a pizza is. And she now all of her contacts just have photos of different pizzas to identify who they are.
How does that work? How do you keep track?
Right? Like, well, I assume they're associated with names as well, right? You'll see this, and then it's a photo of pizza because it's a photo. But that's a whole day's project. That's a lot of time to sink into something that is basically nothing. So, and I picture Paul Heyman doing exactly that with all of his friends in wrestling.
Katie-Pineapple Pizza. I'd block that person immediately. I'm sorry.
Right? Yeah, I don't. It's weird.
Yeah, no. Patrick Pepperoni. That's right. Like, it just... that's how I would do it. I'd There's be like, also just send me the topping that is next to your name. Just like, it's gonna be like, what, Tim Tuna? Like, what do you want here? I don't know.
Yeah, like, this girl's got a lot of friends. There's gonna be some overlap there. Like,
exactly. Just strange way to live. But either way, the question becomes, with the Brock ringtone and then the Roman ringtone, everyone else is Brock in Saskatchewan, where apparently Fox is big news there, even though Fox is not the carrier of SmackDown in Canada.
Yeah, it's great. How do you know he's not in Saskatchewan? How do you know he's not in Minnesota? How do you know he's not right behind you? And then, you know, Paul Heyman. Like, what the... I usually am very on board with all the Roman bits, but that was so weird.
I only liked it because I'm sitting here being like, you know why he's not in Florida? Because it's the COVID capital of the world!
Yeah, he's got a goddamn brain!
He ain't running up over to Florida being like, hey, I'm going to go beat some people up. By the way, I got to wear an N95 mask. Make sure I don't get sick.
Yeah.
Because the entire damn country is. Anyway, so I liked it. And I also like Big E in the janitor garb kind of laughing maniacally with the briefcase. It's silly. I love it, though. It's so stupid. It's perfect for Big E.
He did a good job of covering who he was until the right moment. I feel like they ran that through a few different times.
Did you think it was going to be like R-Truth looking for the 24/7 title because it's technically a multi-branded title?
Part of me was like, I don't know. Like, because you couldn't even see his frame. Like, he did such a good job of contorting his body to really mask who he was. Because, like, you see that silhouette, you know goddamn well who that... I keep saying goddamn, I'm sorry. You know who that guy is, right? Like, it's even in his Titantron. Like,
not his silhouette. Not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
Not that guy. Anyway, it was a good bit. He's basically the boogeyman, but that's just because they don't have anything for him while they progress through to the Brock stuff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Brock will be at MSG next week because guess what? You have to be double vaccinated and wearing a mask to get into any
event. I was about to say, because New York's got their shit together.
Exactly. So he is more than happy to show up there, and I can't blame him. I love the idea that we're just like, yeah, Brock is absolutely like pro-jab, pro-vaccination, pro-mask. Like, we don't know shit.
We don't know. He could be taking the ivermectin and the NAD treatments, you know?
Of all the people to have access to ivermectin for real, Brock Lesnar's one of them for the fun.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got some cattle on that ranch. Like,
Joe Rogan got his ivermectin because of Brock Lesnar. He called up Brock and was just like, hey, bud, listen, I'm feeling real sick, but I heard you got this stuff. And Brock's like, yeah, I'll send it to you. It's going to cost you. And he's like, I don't care. Any cost.
I could believe Brock. I mean, Brock's got the juice, you know, like his last fight with Mark Hunt in the UFC, he got the like Asada kind of slap on the wrist. So he's got the stuff.
Oh, no.
You know, who Brock's got what stuff you need. Well, OK, who's got the stuff?
Becky, the heel. Becky the heel
has the stuff that immediately gets the fans chanting exactly what she wanted. She played it off well. She is a professional.
Yes.
But
yes, she did the stone. She's a stone cold heel right now.
Exactly. And I really like last week when Bianca proposed the match, I was like, she's going to be like, nah, in exactly that tone. And then she did it. And I was like, yep, this is the right way to play it. Like,
it's slow. It's a slow build.
Well, now we got a contract signing. Well, you know, things speed up after a contract signing.
But that's the thing. I don't think the contract signing is going to be the moment that everyone boos her. I think she's going to do something underhanded at Extreme Rules in their match. More underhanded than the Extreme Rules match, whatever stipulation it is. It's going to be more underhanded than that.
It has to be underhanded and boring, though. Like, it can't be exciting.
That's true. Calling her Esther, like EST Esther, was like a weird thing for Becky,
right? I had no idea what that meant. I was like, what?
I had people thinking that they thought that Bianca's real name was Esther. No, her real name's Bianca.
Yeah. But,
like, her name is Bianca Blair. They're just Bella. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, when I heard it, they were just like, oh, Esther. I'm just like, that's not it. I think it's because they're just looking for ways to, like, belittle the EST / Bianca, like get heat, but it's not good heat. It's a weird, it's a weird idea they have, calling her Esther.
Yeah, straight. That's not gonna do it. You gotta do something else.
But I don't hate that Bianca is a fiery baby face, and she's almost saying, I wasn't ready. She's almost saying, like, the match at SummerSlam, I wasn't ready. Let me have another shot. They're actually playing it off that way. And again, the Becky turn, I'm expecting it at the pay-per-view. If they do it at Madison Square Garden, it would have to be her aligning with a group of heels or something more underhanded. Like, I don't know what to expect here.
But here's the thing. With how they've built SmackDown's women's roster, who do you think the heels are going to be that she aligns herself with if we go that route? It's going to be freaking Carmella.
It can't be Carmella because now she's going to start something with Liv. They'll do Carmella and Becky versus Liv and Bianca the week going into the show. Anyway, it's fine. I don't care about Boogs anymore. It's kind of upsetting. I really don't care about this weird Tony Storm love triangle they're about to start with Boogs and Dolph, which, by the way, is just Otis and Mandy and Dolph. It's the same thing again. They're just playing it back.
Well, you know, you gotta perennially revisit some storylines, because we also have Trish and Nikki kind of bubbling again now.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see.
Why does Dolph have to be in all the weird love triangle storylines?
Because he's like Corbin. Like, whatever they give him, he's gonna do pretty damn good at it, even if it's like a steaming pile of poo.
Yeah, exactly. Someone just asked, do you think a 420 reefer's blazing gimmick would work in AEW? They have one. It's called Jack Evans. You're wonderful.
They always struck me more as like an ecstasy pairing, you know?
That's true, with the dance, absolutely. Yeah. Could they bring in RVD for that? I mean, sure.
No, keep RVD away.
Bring him in for a cup of coffee. Why not?
One show, maybe.
Also, like, I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to bring Matt Riddle over to AEW?
No.
There you go. Rollins and Cesaro, they have great chemistry, but we're doing it again!
Yeah, but now Cesaro is just a prop.
Thank you. Thank you. He is that utility guy, and I've said it a billion times here on the internet, everywhere. Vince doesn't like Cesaro beyond what they have him to do. It's been the same thing since, like, 2012. Every 2 years, some writer pitches a Cesaro story, and Vince says, God damn, I'll give it a shot, but when I'm right, I get to rub it in your face. And this is what's going on right now.
I think maybe Vince just doesn't like accents. Where's Apollo?
Yeah, that's a good point. Apollo, who, you know, lost the title the second they went to live crowds again. Won the title in front of a live crowd. Lost it in front of a live crowd. Doesn't work. But Cesaro's back to being another utility guy. However, I like Rollins using Edge's moves.
I thought that was great. Like, yeah. I think, like I said, I hinted towards the Trish Nikki stuff. I don't think it's going to go quite the same direction, but it is interesting. I think that taking, like, you're just raising the stakes on unhinged Rollins, right? You're taking the same idea and amping it up a little bit further. While, you know, I think these guys do so well in the ring together, I wouldn't mind seeing another, like, a stipulation match.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, they'll do Edge and Rollins too at MSG. I like it. They got to sell out the building. They're just about there. They're about 95% sold out from the tickets they released. There's like 700 tickets left as of Friday. So I assume they're going to sell out with a week to go before the show. Fine. Yep. Good stuff. And that'll be a fun match to watch. Jake Paul is back. Speaking of fun things to watch, you may hate him, but you know what? That was such good heat.
They knew. Well, that's the thing. They learned from what happened last week. They saw the absolute nuclear heat on him and just... They brought in Kevin to, you know, to say what people wanted to say.
Tim with the super realistic animated background, amazing green screen work. That's right, Tim.
I'm getting better at it. I really am.
Yeah, Tim dressed up for the occasion, got a different mic, and decided to bring out some green screen animation.
Got a worse mic because I was too lazy to disconnect my other one from home. That's right.
Wonderful.
And we ran out of time. I have much better mics here. I just was also too lazy to set those up.
Kevin Owens is working now like what I consider the Miz schedule, in that he is working with all the celebrities. He's getting all the opportunities to be like the front facing talent, which I like.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Happy I think it was good. And you know, like, just keep kicking Logan Paul in the crotch. Like, that's
yes, please.
Put I'm fine Logan if he shows Paul, up and gets kicked in the crotch. Like,
put Logan Paul in a shark cage for their match at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
For Happy so Corbin funny. Versus KO. Which, by the way, it's a good mid-card feud. I
dig that. Like, I want to see that. I think they'll do great work together. Because, again, I like Corbin. I think he's very talented.
It's fine by me. There's some stakes involved. There's an incoming story. They started it. They're actually doing a little bit of something. So I'm hoping. I don't have like high hopes. This isn't like a big championship, blah, blah, blah. But it's good. It's fun.
No, but it's Extreme Rules and Kevin Owens going to Kevin Owen. So Owens. Exactly. Owens? Yeah. KO.
Paul and Corbin, Logan Paul and Baron Corbin, Happy Corbin. They're friends now, which is weird because Paul was a jerk to Corbin in Vegas. But I guess money buys friendships.
Well, yeah, with douchebags like that.
Wonderful. Speaking of douchebags, Rey Mysterio is a shit father.
He's a crap daddy.
Are we ready to admit it?
I like that this is the angle they've got to, is that he just keeps getting Sami Zayn to whoop his son's ass.
Not only that, I mean, think back to a year ago. He was basically like telling his daughter, no, you can't date this guy.
Yeah. Like,
he's just a bad father. He wants to just kick his kid's ass at video games. Like, that's all he wants to do. He's a bad father.
Bad daddy.
And by the way, ignoring Naomi again is actually a very interesting story.
I like it. I like it a lot because, like, you get a little bit of, you know, you can take your time with it. You don't need to rush through anything. There's no match. It's just another, like, 5-minute backstagers. Maybe the match ends up being Sonya and Naomi. That'd be really interesting down the road if Sonya's kind of heading that direction. I have no idea where she's at.
Yeah, exactly.
But regardless, I think it's a good idea. And again, like, you know, they did the same thing 2 weeks in a row, but with stuff like this, you kind of can, because you're building it piece by piece, little bit at a time.
Here's the thing. When Apollo was looking for a spot, he went to go talk to the tribal chief.
Mm.
Naomi is now looking for the spot.
I see.
She has a connection.
Yeah, she's got an in.
She's gotten in to the tribal chief and to the bloodline. Is there does Sonya get involved in that whole situation? Or does it just become Naomi's like, forget Sonya, I'm going to the other guy who can get me in, and that's Roman. And
I just think
totally sidestep Sonya.
Oh, that would be good. Like, this is a Sonya lives to regret it moment, right? And we see the death of the Glow character, which I, you know, like, whatever. Like, it hasn't, it's been a good character, but WWE hasn't been able to use it for anything. So let's transition her into a different person. Like,
no, I want to see what happens when you turn the glow heel. When you use the
keep
glow,
that and
yes, use all the funky ass lights, but she's a heel. Like, yeah. She comes out and she's just like, but that WWE is not good at like making the women different when they're bad. It's like they're just bougie at that point.
Yeah, exactly. They're confident is usually what it is.
Oh God, yeah, that's true.
No, I don't know. Maybe she like bites into a glow stick and sprays some glowy mist in some faces because they love doing that. You can make them food safe.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. Return of the Demon. That, speaking of Return of Glow, Return of the Demon. I didn't like the Usos beating up Finn pre-match. I guess they had to do something.
And I think this is with, you know, the easiest path of least resistance on that, right? Because they had to do something. Finn was going to lose. I love the choke unconscious because they have to keep him strong. They absolutely have to.
Yeah. And again, lots of very, very good near falls. This match was better than I expected, especially when they came back from that whole beatdown and actually had a match. Roman just killed it with every 2.99999. Always had you. There were a couple falls where it was believable. I was actually like, I was sold a ticket. I loved it.
Yeah. Even the finish, like the coup de grace and then that excellent setup for the low blow. Like, very good finish.
Yeah. And yeah, that was it. We saw the lights very quickly flicker to red in a heartbeat, so we could be seeing Return of the Demon.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I don't know how I feel about the Demon being beaten by Roman Reigns.
Which is almost certainly what will happen, because we're still going to get to Brock and Roman.
I mean, yeah, all this time we've been like, what if you break up the title reign? But I guess not. You can't break up the title reign that way.
I don't think it'd be a good idea, especially if we got the Naomi stuff incoming, which would be like, I mean, they could go a different direction, but that's a gold mine. Keep tacking on to your already like the only tremendous thing you've done this year.
So that was SmackDown, a show that was fairly inconsequential, but either way, it went on.
Yeah. Dynamite Rampage. It advanced things slightly. It did. Dynamite Rampage, yeah.
Dynamite Rampage, by the way, if you're here, toss us a thumbs up on the video. You can leave a comment, maybe subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We're here twice a week, Wednesdays, Sundays at noon. We're hanging out with y'all. We're going to give our predictions for All Out shortly after we kind of talk a little bit about Rampage and Dynamite. First of all, FTR, Proud and Powerful, opened up the show with Dynamite. Great show. Great match.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what we wanted to see before without the unfortunate, you know.
And guess what, Tim? They're 1-1. Run it back, baby. Run it back at Arthur Ashe and give Proud and Powerful
first
their moment.
First
2-5. We wanted a best of 5, but I think they kind of ran into some problems there. You know what,
it's going to be 3, I think.
I will want to ask down the line. I will want to ask if that was supposed to be a best of 5 before the injury.
Yeah.
So if they run it back at Arthur Ashe, you can call Proud and Powerful the number one contenders for the tag titles. They get whoever wins the All Out match, whatever it is. I think that's good. I'm fine with that.
Same. Yeah.
I like them. They protected the big rig, the finisher that FTR does. They did a breakup on the pin. And just to have these two teams run up the division and tag team scores. Why not?
Yeah, it's good.
Punk was all over the place. Did you see? You didn't see Dark, did you? Obviously.
No. What? No.
Dark. I got bored. I've
been over
this. So at the end of Dark on Friday after the tapings, so TK was like, we're going to bring out someone, you know, a big star to close the night after the last match. And the last match was like Jurassic Express versus Chaos Project, Luther and Serpentico, who are great. great guys. I love Luther. I love Serpentico. Can't say a bad thing. And Jurassic Express is great. Anyway, the big surprise was CM Punk, who comes out to end the night. Punk had already been out to do commentary, get physical, did the whole thing. So he comes out and he does the whole send the crowd home happy thing. And they sing the Golden Girls theme song, Thank You for Being a Friend.
That's what RJ City was like. Please do not message me about everything with the Golden Girls. I am not the Golden Girls gatekeeper or whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. Being asked if we think FTR is going to leave, are they happy with their booking? I think they're more than happy where they are.
Oh, yeah,
right now.
They are very content. You know, they had the title pretty quick. They'll get back in that picture. I don't think they care so much about titles. I think they just like that tag teams exist.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think the second that they can, they're going to want to branch out and maybe work a place like New Japan Pro Wrestling. But that's going to be within their AEW deal. So I think they're more, like you said, more than happy that a tag team division exists and that it's thriving in AEW. Anyway, so Punk comes out. And he, that's what they did at the end of the Dark / Rampage tapings. But on Wednesday night, he comes out and he does an interview. And Daniel Garcia and 2.0 attack him. Daniel Garcia is the first man to beat the shit out of Punk. And I love it.
He's DG so good.
Is now like the ace of AEW without having a contract.
The son of 2.0. Killing it.
How'd you feel about Punk getting physical? What did you think? Before the match on Sunday tonight.
I just think he's bad at the GTS. I think it was bad again. Like, I missed most of his run, but every time I did see him do a finisher, it wasn't that exciting to me.
Okay, that's fair.
I think he can do it much better to Darby, because he's a light guy. He doesn't seem to be able to really, like... And it could be his partner, right? I could just blame other people for not doing the work to make it look good.
Yeah.
Because he does the motions. Yeah, it might be, honestly, people aren't the best at selling it.
I think that's fair. That was his first one in 7 years.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold it against him. Like, I expect a great showing on tonight.
So do I. And for that matter, I'm excited because doing the little bit of physicality that they did, it made it real.
Yeah.
Because up until this point, up until this point, we've had Punk just being happy to be back doing all the talky talk. There was no physicality. It was always just Punk being like, I'm so excited. I'm so happy, blah, blah, blah. This actually cemented the fact that he is here to perform, to wrestle, to get physical. We'll see more than just, happy Punk. We're going to see a guy who's going to come and try to kick ass and make his way up the ranks in AEW. I'm fine with that. Sting putting everything over was the right thing on Wednesday. I was big into that.
Sting's so good.
Yeah, Sting is great. And then remember the time we thought Darby and Sting were going to split and have a match at All Out?
Yeah, didn't work out that way.
Ooh, no, it did not. Fast forward to Friday. Let's try and play it like this. Friday, we had Darby Allin taking on Mr. Rampage, Daniel Garcia, who has now main evented pretty much all the Rampages.
All of his moves are named after sodas, I guess.
Yes. We have the Pepsi Twist. We have the Code Red.
Yeah.
What else? We're going to have the Mountain Dew Plunge, the Diet Coke Splash. The Nesty Plunge will be another one with the Pepsi Plunge. The Nesty Plunge will be to the outside.
Yeah.
And then, or into a vat of mimosa. But the Pepsi Twist is... Anyway, Darby wins. Everyone jumps into attack. Punk is like, should I help him? He goes and surveys the damage. I wanted Punk to be like, nah, and then just walk away.
Yeah, he's like, ah.
Yeah, he's fine.
We'll do it Sunday. Don't want to pull a hammy,
So he still goes and beats the shit out of them. And I'm glad that Punk and Darby didn't touch in the melee. They didn't
just the foreheads.
Foreheads. And that's fine. They didn't get physical. They didn't beat each other up. That's the good way to do a match build.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
MJF sit down and Jericho in the ring. MJF putting over and burying Jericho simultaneously. So good.
Yeah. Really well done. Like, whatever. We'll do this one more time. Please lose, Jericho.
Jericho then cuts an emotional promo in the ring. Gets people thinking maybe he'll lose.
He was choked up. But there was someone else who did this very recently who did the choke up. It was Cody. It was Cody who did the faux retire. Yeah.
It's always Cody.
So I don't know. I have no trust in what those particular guys are doing in terms of emotions.
I did like JR being the host in ring for a change for the Jericho promo. And I like that JR got a little bit choked up as well.
Agreed. Yeah. I think he did a good job.
There was good emotion. I like that both guys were doing it. They felt it. I like that. I also like the Gun Club turn.
There seem to be a lot of mixed opinions about the Gun Club turn.
First of all,
I liked it too. Like, screw it.
I'm here for it.
I think it was Excalibur who was like, and his cowardly sons. And I was like, they were very over faces just like a minute ago.
Yeah,
I guess they're cowards now. It was funny. I don't mind it, especially. Yeah, whatever.
I will say this. On the Ledger side of things, or on the development side of things, this is an opportunity for Colton and Austin Gunn to work heel, because they have not done that yet.
I think it was just like, it was a tally, right? I think why they did this was they looked at who they had on roster and they just saw a slight imbalance in like the trios and tag team situation and created another heel team.
Exactly. Smart. I've been right in the chat saying they were hired guns. You got to put two D's in hired, though. Everything is doubled up. When we spell gun club in the notes, it's two N's and two B's.
Two B's, baby.
And now if they join the factory, guess what? It's two Y's. Penelope Ford and Ty Conchi had a really, 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 so really, really good match.
Yep. I like the bunny stuff was in there, too.
You
just
do,
love
right?
all that. Yeah.
So, sorry, going back, Ace does mention that Billy Gunn and Paul White have history. They've teamed up together. There's a good amount of history from the WWE days. There's so much you can pull from. But for now, I'm just happy to see the Gun Club do more than just holler at ringside. So back to Ford and Conchi. I've been saying it for months. Penelope Ford has been the most drastically improved wrestler in AEW.
Agreed. By far. Agreed. Yeah, it was really, really good.
And I also like that this is a chance for the women's division to shine without it being about Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker.
No titles. It's nice.
Yeah.
Something time. WWE isn't doing very well right now.
And then we're going to go back to what I talked about on Wednesday, Tim. The tag teams.
Yeah.
Ford and the Bunny. They beat down Ty Conchi. And guess who comes back is Anna Jay. And you have Nyla Rose and Jade Cargill beating up women in the back. And you've got just tag teams forming and alliances and friendships. And Swole and Julia Hart are going to be a tag team as well. You know, this is where we're going. We're going to have another tag team tournament. And if the winners don't face for the NWA women's tag titles, I don't know what we're doing.
Then we get new tag titles in AEW. Like that, it's one or the other. I kind of agree, but like it's one or the other right now. I think they could just use the NWA stuff because I mean they'll use their titles better than NWA is.
Yeah, TK said it himself. He's like, I'll have a bunch of titles, I don't care. But I think at the end of the day, we need to have less tag titles.
TK also said that he doesn't think of the TNT title as a mid-card title, which is absolutely like bonkers to me.
It's the only reason I'm willing to accept it is because he has put that title in main event matches on the same show where he's put the championship, like the holder of the title,
like never on a pay-per-view.
I know. I'm not saying in a match. I'm saying where they put the AEW championship like segment in the middle. Yeah. They've made the title. They made the title important with multiple matches, right? When Cody held it, it was good. When it was Cody and Brody Lee, that dog collar match, that was a big fight feel for that championship. He's done a good job of making it an important title. I agree, it's number two.
It's important. It's absolutely important. And I think they've done a good job of not like overdoing the titles like WWE does. Yeah. I think they do a good job of that. It's just like, yeah, I mean, look at what's going on, though. Like, it just doesn't.
I think he just doesn't like the idea of it being mid-card. I think he likes the idea of calling it number two or calling it different. I think it's very much semantics.
That's all it is. Like that's what I was about to say. Like,
when there was all the punk speculation starting, there was one guy who flat out asked TK in a scrum, you know, have you signed CM Punk? And TK was like, no, because guess what? He hadn't.
Yeah.
There was talks of him. He didn't sign that contract till 30 minutes before he went out for Rampage.
No, why would you? Because then you have that deniability the entire time.
Exactly. There's a whole story. Mike Raimondi from ESPN wrote a long feature. It was great. And it talked about the entire plan execution of Punk's return. And it's worth the read if you haven't seen it already. It was very good.
And going back to the women stuff, like this is one of those ways you keep that momentum going without just bringing in talent, right? You mix things up. You do exciting things like that, like tag team tournaments. So,
yep. So let's move on. The Elite in the main event took on Jurassic Express and the Lucha Bros. Fast forward to the end. The match ends. Cage comes down. Don stole the keys from TK, which I like. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
That all out tag is going to steal the show. That's how I feel.
I think so too. That's going to be a great matchup. And you know, the cage is, I like the cage. It's tough for camera a little bit, but I do like it. Like
that's where I find the problem. It's tough for camera.
I mean, get a guy in there, just shove a man in the ring, like, or get drones or put cameras on the corners or something, you know, or above.
You can't do too many jib shots of them or going in.
Yeah, I know, but
you have to have a flat on. You can do that if the guys at ringside have holes, like holes in the cage. That's a WWE thing that they do.
Yep.
They have holes or just bigger links that it doesn't look so awkward. That's the problem. The cage looks great. It looks daunting. It looks imposing. So live, it looks great.
And like,
can't
you know,
shoot in it.
I'm sure they learned from Wednesday, and like maybe they did do the holes thing. I think that'd be a good idea.
I doubt it. That cage has been hanging there since Wednesday. They ain't doing shit. They were like, set it, forget it. Who knows?
They have so much money. Hire a better like staging and props guy. Anyway,
Thing I like that they're putting trusses, and they did this for Blood and Guts 2 and the last cage. The trusses all along the sides and the top, because it's easier to climb. There's going to be some ridiculous spot. There's going to be something like someone's going to hit a code red from the top of that stupid cage. Yeah, and I'm here for great.
I love it.
Christian gets in the fray. He gets locked in there with the Lucha Bros and the Elites. And I love it. The Elite get all the heat going off the air. TK's upset, comes running down the ramp, being like, oh, 9 days, 9 days. Sorry, that's a different show. And there you go. TK's got heat with the Elite. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's good.
Very quickly, Rampage, Malakai Black.
His kicks are so damn good. I don't remember them even ever being that good in WWE.
I saw Lee Johnson's jaw move about 3 inches off his face when he took that kick.
Like, is AEW just letting him actually kick people into the skull? Or like, I no, like, honestly, Malakai Black's just got tremendous leg control. Like, the his ability to throw those kicks like that is stellar. I get it now. I didn't get it in WWE because they never gave him the right time of day. Now I get it.
They're going to do Dustin Rhodes versus Malakai Black on Dynamite, as expected.
Just destroy everyone.
Like, I'm just going to remind everyone, Malakai Black is firmly in the Cody-verse until full gear.
They're going right back, and then Cody's going over.
Malakai Black is in the Cody-verse. He didn't pull Cody out of the Cody-verse. No, he joined the Cody-verse, and I wish people would get that.
Yeah, no, Malakai Black is going to steamroll everyone in the Nightmare Factory, and then Cody's going to beat his ass.
Exactly. It's wonderful. And yeah, Dustin Rhodes did have a really good promo calling out Malakai Black. That's great.
I was born in the darkness.
You should have put on the big mask, too. Yeah. either way, going back to the last match from Dynamite, we're being asked about if we think Phoenix will hit an Elix Skipper walking off the cage top Rana. I hope not. I want to see Phoenix do something absolutely ridiculous, but
I'm terrified whenever he's gonna hurt himself. Like, it's happened too many times now. Hopefully he can do it right.
Yeah. I'm fine. It'll be such a good match. We'll get to it in a second when we give our predictions for All Out. Miro, Eddie Kingston, redeem these nuts, is now a t-shirt on PWTs, because of course it is.
Oh my God, Eddie Kingston cutting a promo on God was the best.
When I was modding the Fightful chat afterwards, I had a bunch of people being like, why is he talking about Jesus? It's really upsetting to me that he's talking about
Jesus.
No.
Miro's like God is clearly the Old Testament God.
It's a vengeful God.
Yeah. He's not about charity.
Very strange. I do like going back to Tony Khan. He was on Unrestricted running down the All Out card, and he actually made Miro and Kingston make sense. And they did it on Rampage too. You go back to Fuego with the contract signing. Miro didn't want Fuego to have the contract. He didn't think Kingston deserves his spot in AEW. So like, the match is a whole intense rivalry of a match. But the point is that, you know, Miro wants people to be deserving of their spots.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like, he's got the physical appearance to make that argument make sense for him. Like, he's an athlete. Like, he is, you know, I think Jericho called him a cigarette machine with a head. Are there many cigarette machines still around in the States? Is that a thing? I thought they limited who can purchase smokes. So
I mean, everyone can purchase smokes if you try.
Well, it's not that hard, but you know, you put a convenience store vendor in the mix. You don't just leave him out on the street and vending machines. But I don't know where Jericho lives. I think it's in his own head most of the time.
He lives in Florida, where you can get anything from a vending machine, including COVID.
And ivermectin, for sure.
Yes. You know what, though? So, again, going back to the whole idea that not everyone who is from New York needs to have a big New York title win or whatever at Arthur Ashe. I want Kingston to have a special match at Arthur Ashe. But the question is, will it be with a title? And we'll get to that when we do our predictions. Because not every hometowner needs a massive title win. Maybe they just need a statement win. There you go. They do have cigarette machines in Mexico and Japan. Can't confirm for the Japanese.
No, part. I know Mexico and Japan. I'm talking the states. Because he... Florida. Or maybe we'll get Bulgaria, but like not... Yeah, I don't know.
I will ask tonight when our friend Maggie joins us for the watch.
Please do. Hey, find out. Hey.
Can you get cigarettes from a box?
Look, and I know you can get them in some bars. I've seen those, but they aren't very big. And Miro is much bigger than one of those.
I forgot why we're having this conversation.
Speaking at semantics, I don't know.
Very much so. Moving on with Rampage. Chris Statlander takes on Jamie Hayter and Reba. Don't call her Rebel. No, other way around. Real Rebel.
You mean Reba Pin Fodder Rebel?
Yes, exactly. My Pin Fodder. Great show of strength from Chris Statlander. They made her look good. They made her look strong. They made her look serious going into Sunday. I'm fine with that. What I wasn't fine with was Red Velvet coming out.
Yeah, who cares? She had Go back in the back.
We talked about it. She had a great match with Sky Blue on Dark. The crowd just wasn't interested in this particular appearance.
No, I know. Yeah, man.
They were dead. Either way, Statlander versus Britt. Looking forward to that on Sunday.
Maybe they're setting it. It's Velvet and Statlander as the tag team. I don't know. I don't love that pairing.
That's not a bad idea. I don't know.
Velvet I don't love Kylan that pairing.
King. It's Velvet and Kylan King.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Darby Allin and Daniel Garcia. So that wraps up Rampage. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, pal. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about All Out. But before we talk about All Out, if you're new here, go ahead. Toss us a like on the video. Subscribe to us here on YouTube. Would you do it? Okay, maybe you won't, maybe you will, I don't know. Leave us your predictions, either here on the video or on our Discord, and you can find the link in the video description here. I see some people may have already joined. Wonderful, join us, good to see you. All Out, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to feel. I've got so many feelings about this. Let's start out with the AEW Championship, right? Actually, no.
What? We don't start with that, sir.
We're going to start at the bottom. Someone asking, are we going to see CJ Perry tonight? I don't think we'll see the former Lana tonight. I don't.
No, I think she's doing other stuff. I really think she's at least going to do some other stuff for a little while. She might come back to wrestling, but not for, I would say, even 6 months to a year, maybe more.
She's announced as doing The Surreal Life, which is the reboot for VH1. I don't know when the taping schedule is, but that's part of it. I don't see it. If they do it, it'll be a one-off or just a very quick showing.
She's also got that god-awful sci-fi movie out, so.
Oh, that's true. God, she has so many god-awful movies. Hey, if she gets paid, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, right, I don't care. I'm just not going to watch it.
Let's go to the buy-in first. Best Friends and Jurassic Express take on Hardy Party and TH2. Our pot-loving friends in TH2. I don't know who's going to win this match anymore. Do you?
The Best Friends crew, my guess. It's a guess.
Yeah. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say HFO wins.
I feel. Hardy has taken a lot of L's lately, right?
He's taken a lot of L's.
Yeah, and I'm just sticking with it.
Yeah, stick with what you got. I mean, who knows? We got the confidence points gimmick too. It's going to be a fun match. Like 10-man tags in AEW are often weird and fun. So there you go. A lot of people you care about is wonderful for that match. I don't care about many of the people in this match. I don't.
I like Angelico. I feel like he hasn't been able to do much in AEW, though. I really liked him in Lucha. So
okay. I'm just over HFO. I'm just over that story right now.
Like I said, Matt Hardy did better than I expected in that Christian match, so it's fine.
Shout out to our friend
Orange Cassidy match, sorry.
Shout out to our friend Cher Delaware, who just rode an elevator with Matt Hardy and is probably going to get the shit kicked out of her by Rebby now that she's been in the same vicinity as her husband.
Maybe take a pregnancy test just in case, I feel like.
No.
Just being anywhere near him.
Always results in pregnancy. I should probably take one too. Anyway.
You should.
I should. That's true. Okay.
And better safe than sorry.
Exactly. So moving on. The Women's Casino Battle Royal is up next. I'll read out the entrance. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm not. I'll give you a wild guess. Go ahead.
All right. That's fine. Listen. Here we go. Maggie, answer a question for us. In Bulgaria, Maggie is in the chat. She's our Bulgarian correspondent. In Bulgaria, can you find cigarettes in a sale? What is it? In a
large vending machine outside of a bar.
Yes. Will you find vending machine cigarettes in Bulgaria? Please let us know. While we're doing that, we'll run down the Women's Casino Battle Royal. The entrants are Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa, The Bunny, Big Swole, Ty Conchi, Diamante, Penelope Ford, Red Velvet, Hikaru Shida, Amy Sakura, Jade Cargill, Kiara Hogan, Abaddon, Layla Hirsch, Kylan King, Rebel, Jamie Hayter, Anna Jay, Riho, Sky Blue, No More Julia Hart, so I assume Ruby Soho. Tim, who's going
to
win this damn match?
I want to be able to put like caveats on it. If Ruby Soho debuts, Ruby Soho. See? Vulgar. Screw you, Jericho, dumbass. If Ruby Soho,
the video, you'll figure it out.
If Ruby Soho shows up, I say she wins. If she does not, I feel like Jamie Hayter and you said Reba's in it too.
Yeah, Rebel's in it.
Yeah, so Jamie Hayter and Reba do something to give somebody you wouldn't expect the victory.
So keep in mind, this is for a match for the AEW Women's Championship on Dynamite.
Yes, yeah,
this
yeah. It's a quick one.
The
so
full
I don't
gear match.
So Ruby Soho would be weird. So let me guess someone in the match. One more time. Rifle through them.
Chris. Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa, The Bunny, Big Swole, Ty Conchi, Diamante, Penelope Ford, Red Velvet, Hikaru Shida, Emi Sakura, Jade Cargill, Kiara Hogan, Abaddon, Layla Hirsch, Kylan King, Rebel, Jamie Hayter, Anna Jay, Riho, Sky Blue, and presumably Ruby Soho as the Joker.
I'm going to guess Kylan King.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. That might be a good way for them to get the Red Velvet thing. They can do a six-person tag.
That's interesting. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I am going to say Penelope Ford.
Yeah, also totally reasonable. The only thing is she's kind of heelish, which again, you know, Britt versus...
Baker's been straddling the line, though. She is a heel... But also, she'll get cheered by whomever. So
I know it's just tough because of that. Like they've built so many very good heels. Like you could throw Jade Cargill in there at any moment. But the problem is, you know, how do you build that?
I don't see Ruby being the winner only because again, it's on a Dynamite.
Yeah, which is kind of telling. So I say Kylan King.
Okay, well we'll see. I mean, any of these women can do it, with exceptions. But I'm just looking at it, like it's not going to be Jade. Because I think it's too, or I think it's way too
it's
early.
It's not going to be Nyla Rose.
It's not going to be Nyla Rose. It's not going to be TR is probably going to be the match at Full Gear. The Bunny, I don't really think that they're ready for that. Big Swole would be excellent, but she hasn't really. She's been on Dark and Dark Elevation a bunch, but there's nothing there yet. I would love to see.
Yeah, and
it,
they,
but
I mean they did that too, right? We had the
Ty. We've done Diamante would be interesting, but again. Hasn't been much. Penelope Ford is just starting to get more momentum, and I shouted her out months ago.
Just now, though.
Velvet, we already did. Hikaru Shida, she just lost.
Just dropped it.
But she's also been only on Dark winning matches, which is good, but I want them to go to someone new. Emi Sakura, same thing. I don't know. I don't know with Emi.
I have no idea. It's a possibility, but...
Kiara Hogan is someone I could see them doing this for.
True.
And if she has such a great match against Britt Baker, giving her the All Elite graphic.
Yep.
That's what I can see. Abaddon, we've done. That was with Shida, though.
Yeah.
Layla Hirsch, I could see that as
could
a reward for the match that she had with Camille at NWA Empower. Kylan King, we just talked about. Rebel and Jamie Hayter.
You could do Rebel. And then she just lies down.
You do Finger Folk of Doom?
Yeah.
Kind of into it.
I think that'd be funny.
Anna Jay just came back. Anna Jay would be a really interesting one, only because like she just came back and people are super into that.
Yeah.
She got a great pop. People really love her. I could see that working. Riho, I don't, because we've done Riho. Sky Blue is interesting, but she was just announced, so I don't know if there's any plans for that.
Yeah.
And then Ruby, again, I could see Ruby getting the match versus Thunder Rosa that gets us to Full Gear, or maybe TR is not going to get the Full Gear match and it's Ruby. I don't know, but I don't see it being Ruby.
Yeah.
There we go. We just went through everyone. There we go. For the AEW Tag Team Championship match, it's going to be in a steel cage. It's the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers. The Bucks have been the champions for almost a full year since Full Gear.
I know.
Gear.
And yeah, there's, yeah, I got real like could happen vibes from this because they like I feel like the Elite is kind of sucking out a lot of their ability to tell stories with titles right now, so I think we're primed to see the Bucks drop the tag titles. I think just getting them out there and then it could just be you know, you could drag out the unraveling of the Elite and ultimately lead to Hangman Kenny down the road. If it doesn't happen tonight, it's going to happen with their next opponents. Who were we talking about? There's someone who is coming up as
Proud
a tag
powerful.
Team. Proud and Powerful, yeah. So if it doesn't happen, if the Lucha Bros don't take it tonight, it's going to Proud and Powerful in the next fight.
That means that Kenny and Jericho are going to have the match for the AEW championship.
No.
The Inner Circle's back, baby!
They're doing their own things!
It's going to be Jake Hager versus Miro for the TNT title.
No!
All right, so who do you think is winning the match?
This is a pain in the ass. I'm going to say the Bucks.
You're going to say the Bucks?
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I don't think the Bucks drop it yet. I think if they're going to do one championship change at Arthur Ashe.
Proud and Powerful.
No, because we said Proud and Powerful would be the number one contenders match at Arthur Ashe.
Yeah. I think Proud and Powerful takes it in the next one. I don't think they lose it tonight. That's why.
Fair. Yeah, I don't see the Lucha Brothers. I don't know where we go from there. There are options, but yeah. I'm going to go with the Bucks. Keep it on them for now. New GCW champion John Moxley does not defend his GCW championship against Satoshi Kojima. Instead, they're just having a one-on-one match because who knows? By the way, Mox versus Gage is happening October 9th in Atlantic City for GCW. That's going to be a
another bloodbath.
Bloodbath. I was going to say a bunch of expletives, and then I was like, no, we're still live. That's going to be a really good match. Who's going to win between Moxley and Kojima?
Mox.
Is it Bread Club or is it barbed wire around Bread Club?
I think Mox.
I agree. They should put the belt up against Kojima for GCW. Could you imagine Kojima, GCW champion, taking on Nick Gage?
Funny. Very funny. Do it.
Yes. I brought a loaf of bread. It's wrapped in barbed wire. It has C4 explosive in the middle. Good luck. So you're saying Mox?
Yeah, I'm saying Mox.
I am also saying Mox. Does anyone come in afterwards to challenge Mox?
Probably somebody I don't know again.
Go. If you can go to that GCW show October 9th, go for it. I'm going to try and go to Emo Fight around the Arthur Ashe weekend. So if I go to Arthur Ashe, do it. Anyway, Mox. We're both saying Mox. Someone's going to come out. I jokingly, not jokingly, at 5 in the morning when I was awake, I tweeted out that Tanahashi was in the main event of the show for New Japan the night before, but he wasn't on the card the night after. He could be on his way to Chicago. And then I was quickly corrected and said Tana was actually doing commentary, so there goes that. He can still go. He can still fly. It's you know, transatlantic flight. I don't know.
Yeah. Whoever it is, I'm not guessing it. So
I don't mind the idea of having Minoru Suzuki challenge Mox for Cincinnati for Wednesday. That would be interesting. But I think they're going to reset Moxley after he wins at All Out. I don't think his match is going to be more than just him having a good match with Kojima and then just walking out and that's out. That's it. And then they're going to set him up for something bigger when we get to Cincinnati, his hometown, on Wednesday. That's all I got. Not every match is going to have like this big revelation moment afterwards.
No, it's fine. Doesn't need to. You need to mix it up, right?
Yeah. Moxley wins and then Daniel Bryan comes out.
No.
That's the moment. For the AEW Women's Championship, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. She's a dentist, if you didn't know already. She's going to take on Chris Statlander. There's not much else to say about this match.
We don't need to talk about this one. It's Britt Baker.
What if Chris wins?
No, don't give the belt to the alien. To have to listen to Taz awkwardly talk about the Andromeda Galaxy every week? No, thank you.
Taz singing Baltimore this particular week on Dark was absolutely amazing.
He is a delight. I love him.
Yes. His son was at GCW last night. He did not know that his son was at GCW last night.
Wrestling?
No, he was just there with
just in the audience.
They were watching.
Okay. Yeah.
Moving on, Paul White versus QT Marshall. This will be Paul's first match since July 2020.
Well, it's a big guy walking down doing big guy shit. Yeah, that's what we're getting. It's fine.
Oh God. His theme is now just
Yeah, something.
It's Creed. It's Scott Stapp just doing
it. It's not quite like that. It's more like that Jim Belushi. It's more Jim Belushi.
Can you take me, Big Show? Take me to the biggest show.
Okay. Rest in peace, QT Marshall. And then I hope we get Nick Camarado versus The Big Show. But it'll probably be Billy Gunn versus The Big Show, which is an old man fight I'm kind of interested in, to be honest.
Is it bad that every time I hear Billy Gunn, I think Billy Bitch Tits, which is what The Rock called him in 99?
That's so funny.
Oh, I love it. People are still discovering that Britt Baker is, in fact, a dentist.
Oh!
Wonderful. This is great. Everyone's getting educations around. Okay, let's talk about it. So we got Paul taking on QT Marshall. Again, this is Paul's first match since an unsanctioned match from July 2020 in WWE against, you bet, Randy Orton.
Yep.
Because Randy Orton just putting them all sends, out.
Sends them out to pasture. That's
right. Surprised they didn't do Randy Orton versus Adam Cole just one time.
Just once. So just that, once. Yeah. Anyway.
What do you think?
Paul.
Tall Paul?
Tall Paul takes the Vic.
Fine by me. Tall Paul gets the win. For the TNT Championship, Miro defends against Edward Kingston, where we were asked earlier how we feel about Eddie Kingston. I love Eddie Kingston, flat out.
Me too. Who doesn't?
Great wrestler. Very, very entertaining gentleman. Very good. Who wins this match?
I say Miro.
You do, eh?
Yep.
There's a part of me, going back to the whole what do we do with Arthur Ashe conversation, where Eddie wins the championship so he can be the big, you know, hero's welcome at Arthur Ashe as the TNT champion. And then he comes in and you know who wins or who he faces at Arthur Ashe?
Miro again.
Yes. No, Homicide. I want to see Eddie Kingston and Homicide, and that would be because Eddie wants that match. Eddie is like adamant that he pays back Homicide for his years of service to New York wrestling. That's what I see. Do I think it'll happen? Probably not. I think Miro retains. If Eddie wins, honestly, that would be a huge welcome surprise.
Yeah, and I have no problem with it because now Miro, Miro needed the title. He's got the title. He built a real solid character. I think they can do like loads with that. Like, I don't think he absolutely needs the title anymore, but I do see him retaining tonight.
Here's what I can see though: Miro drops the title now. He goes on an absolute tear,
just destroying people,
people. And in the meantime, you have Adam Page win the AEW championship, so that Miro is already built as the first contender for the AEW championship, because that way we don't just jump directly from Miro, who just lost the TNT title, to Adam Page.
And I think that's such a, like, if Adam beats Kenny and then Miro just walks out and just looks scary as hell, like, that's a good transition in, nice and smooth.
Yeah. I, just to be contrarian, I'm going to say Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. Hopefully. I'm kind of rooting for that. I'm sticking with Miro, but I'm rooting for Eddie now.
I can totally understand it. It's just be a good time one. Be a good time to see Miro maybe drop that title and then just go on a tear. Again, like, the idea here, as we talk about on the show, it's not about, you know, it's about one night being your worst night.
Yep.
Everyone can lose once. Speaking of which, if the next match, if Jericho loses, he can no longer wrestle in AEW. It's Jericho versus MJF. I mean, listen, you got to be double vaxxed to go to Arthur Ashe. So maybe Jericho was just like, guys, let's have Max go over on this one. Who wins this match?
Jericho.
You think so?
I think so. I fear so.
You fear it. They're really good at keeping their stipulations live.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's some real uncertainty with it. There's a lot in this card that I'm just like, I don't know.
There is. And one thing I think about is that the Cody no AEW championship thing, I think they want to renege on that. I think they want to let him back into the pool. The problem is they can't have him be the first guy to break a stipulation, because then the internet will go absolutely apeshit.
Yeah. And, you know, if anyone's going to do it, Jericho's pretty believable. He'd be like, nah.
People would shit on Jericho, and Jericho would just I did it. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. He could be like a tweener or a heel, whatever. They're still going to sing that stupid song every time.
Oh, that stupid song. I watched. No, I'm not going to talk about it. There's footage. Rich Ward, get well soon. That's all I'm going to say. He is the glue that holds Fozzy together. the air show was happening.
Yeah, I'm hearing it more. It happened here too, but it was quieter.
Okay, I guess I got to make a decision. I'm going to say Jericho. I'm so close to saying MJF, but I'll leave it at Jericho. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Let's do CM Punk versus Darby Allin. It's Punk's first match in 7 years, so obviously Darby Allin is going to win this match, right? Sting is going to cost Punk the match.
I'm going to say Punk wins, but I to sow some doubt, if anyone can tell an interesting story based off of coming back and immediately losing, as the commentary kind of pointed out on Rampage, I think it was, I think Punk could do it. And, you know, he's got a lot of emotional stuff that he can draw on for that, given his performance in UFC. So
that's true. Mickey Gall comes out and costs Punk the match. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
I'm going to say Punk, but there's some real potential for him to put over Darby.
CM Punk gets the win. Darby Allin and Sting turn heel, and out comes Daniel Bryan, his new tag team partner.
Yeah.
Actually, that only happens if that closes the show.
Maybe Daniel Bryan brings him back up with a little bit of the yes, you know? He's like, yes. You can do it, CM Punk.
what if he can't do the yes chant anymore? What would he do?
Is that branded? I don't know.
No,
he was doing that long before WWE.
No, it was a WWE thing for sure.
Was it?
It was.
Was it?
Yeah,
it was. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder what would he, let's say it was a branded thing. What would we do?
Yay.
He's just gonna rip off LA Knight and just yeah. It sounds so off. I love it.
How much over are we?
We are very over.
Okay, let's race to the finish. What we got next?
AEW Championship. This is the presumed main event. Kenny Omega defends against Christian Cage. Kenny has been AEW champion since December 2020. My God. Who's going to win?
Wind it down.
Is it Kenny or is it Christian?
No, Christian's got his consolation prize. He's not winning this one.
What are you talking about? He could easily be a two-belt Cage.
He's not going to be.
Well, I tried.
Kenny keeps it. It's fine, but we are winding down Kenny's title reign.
Oh, that's true. Oh, there we go. I've seen someone say that Brian makes the save up for Punk after Garcia 2.0 beat him down post-match. If that is the final match of the night, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And they very well might close it. They've put the championship fight at weird time slots before. They've opened the show with it before, so
I don't think they have. They've done it with
not a pay per view, but I'm pretty sure they've done it on Dynamite with championship matches.
But they treat their pay per views differently. They treat them as more like a New Japan show. It's very interesting, friends. All Out is tonight. I'll be there watching along over at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Tim might be there. Our friend Maggie, who was in the chat, will be there. There will be others there as well. Come and hang out with us. We're going to start around 8 p.m. Eastern, maybe a little before. We'll see. And all that's tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Kids can find me at TIMBSTONEP on Twitter. Give me a reason to be on there. At message me, because I won't look otherwise.
Are you about to launch into a stand-up set or a singing thing?
No, I'm tired. I got to move my bones. I did a lot of squats yesterday. I'm pretty jelly. It's weird.
Friends, the show is at Tim and Joel Pod, timandjoelpod.com. Go ahead and subscribe to us here on YouTube. This is the shit that we do every single week, twice a week, Wednesdays, Sundays, noon. I'm at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. We'll see you all down the road. Cheers. Good night, everybody.